Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome again to the Love of the Star podcast. I am Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, the radio flagship home of the Cowboys, joined as always by Brian Broaddus, former Super Bowl winning NFL scout, now co-host of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, 2 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, also pre- and post-game host for the Dallas Cowboys radio network. And we are honored to be going behind enemy lines with a good friend of Brian's, I know. We've got John Schmelk here with us. He is a podcast host, reporter, and producer for the Giants, Giants.com. You can find him on Twitter at Schmelk, which is S-C-H-M-E-E-L-K. John, how you doing today?
I'm good, but I'm a little concerned. Brian, when did you release the old cranky scout title from your official designation?
John,
you cranky.
You know me better. You can bring that back when we get working on the draft and I come right on your podcast in the spring. You can bring back the old crusty scout guy that I've always been with you. But man, thank you so much for coming on with us, John. I mean, it's a pleasure. As you're listening to this podcast, folks, this man right here he knows it all about the Giants. He's like Bobby, he lives in the building with these Giants, always around him. So he'll give us the insights on what's going on with this team as we get ready for this Monday night game.
Which, John, I guess the biggest news for the Giants coming into this game is that you are going to be seeing the debut, it seems like, of Kayvon Thibodeau, and you're going to be getting Aziz Ojulari back. It's looked a lot, just Brian and I, from watching some of the tape of these first two games, we both noticed, man, there looks like there's some trouble getting pressure with the front four. Wink Martindale's having to bring a lot of blitzes. He likes doing that anyway. But how big a boost is it for that front four that they're going to get their two pass rushers that they always envision there, Ojulari and Thibodeau, back for this one?
And frankly, even when they haven't gotten their unblocked pressures from some of their safeties and corners, and they've manufactured those one-on-ones, which is the other point of the Wink Martindale scheme, they haven't been getting pressure either, to be quite honest with you. So unless they've gotten an unblocked pressure, guys really haven't been getting home. So this is a big deal. Kayvon Thibodeau and Aziz Ojulari have both been out since the last week or two of training camp, and it's important for both guys to get back. The Giants don't have any other guys that can win one-on-one. In my opinion right now, Ojulari is still further ahead of Thibodeau. As a rusher, he had the calf. Thibodeau had the MCL. So, yeah, it's a big boon. You guys know how it works. If you can't get pressure in this league, it's hard to stop people. And the Giants aren't rolling out a bunch of shutdown corners either. Adoree Jackson's a good player. But Aaron Robinson, who is not playing, you know, he's out. He wasn't playing that well before he got hurt. Darnay Holmes has been a little grabby as a slot corner, though he does tend to stay close to receivers, even if it's not legally. And then, you know, you have the guy stepping in for Aaron Robinson. Is it going to be Fabian Moreau, the veteran, who kind of came in at the last half of game number two? Or rookie Cordell Flott, who got beat by DJ Moore a couple times against Carolina last week and then got pulled for Fabian Moreau. So, yeah, the Giants' pass defense here, I think they've caught a break, guys, playing two teams that don't pass the ball well in Tennessee and Carolina the first 2 weeks. So it might have hidden some of the issues this defense could have this year. So that's one thing, if you're the Cowboys, I would keep an eye on this game. Can they take advantage of that? Giants' lack of pass rush, we'll see where Thibodeau and Ojulari are, and their young secondary.
When you mentioned the secondary, John, I mean, is it – you see, they do give up some big plays, but is that more because of technique or is it more because of the lack of the pass rush?
I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. And I've actually been surprised. Wink hasn't played nearly as much cover zero as he has in years past. He's kind of pulled back on that a little bit. I think because of the lack of ability to cover one-on-one in the back end, he's mixing a lot more zones and things of that nature. They still run play. I think the Cowboys and Giants are 1-2 in the league in the percentage of time they play cover one. But the cover zero has been pulled back a little bit. I think it's a little bit of both. I think you have some issues there in the back end and the lack of pass rush. So put those two together. But again, I think they've caught breaks that Tannehill and Baker Mayfield and the Titans and the Panthers just don't really have dynamic passing attacks to take advantage of that.
Do you think, you mentioned Adoree Jackson's been a good player. He's been a really stabilizing factor there in the secondary from what I can tell. Your anticipation, do you think he follows CeeDee Lamb or do you think they're going to play him on a side? How do you think they deploy Adoree Jackson?
Yeah, he followed Robert Woods in week one. He did not follow DJ Moore in week two. So your guess is as good as mine. I would follow him with CeeDee Lamb. Then again, Lamb winds up in the slot a lot, as you guys well know. I don't know if they're going to put him inside. I think they might leave Holmes on him if he goes inside. So I do think that's a really good question. I don't know which way they're going to go because they have worked it both ways this year. And I'll throw out, by the way, I didn't mention the two safeties. I should. Julian Love and Xavier McKinney are good football players. They can play all over the field. They're both very smart. They're not going to blow coverages. So they've also, to your point, you called the Doria stabilizing factor back there. So are the two safeties. They really help out those corners. They're two very good players. And now you have Tony Jefferson, too, and rookie Dane Belton, I thought, played well last week in his first game against Carolina. So they have a crew of safeties they trust, and I think that's really helped the corners who had a lot of them lack that experience.
John, when we talk about Thibodeau and Ojulari, do they flip sides? Are they going to play? Are they primary right or left players, or do they have a rhyme or reason why they flip sides?
They've been flipping in camp, and they flipped in the preseason game. So I would expect them to play both sides, and that's just Wink trying to cause confusion, Brian. You know how that goes. He wants guys lined up all over the place, so you don't know who you're assigning to what blocker, who's coming from where. So both guys will play both. More often than not, I'd say Thibodeau will be over Tyler Smith at left tackle and Ojulari will be over Terrence Steele at right tackle, but they will play both sides.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you look at one thing Brian and I seem to notice was, obviously Andrew Thomas is great. He's been really, really good these first couple games here for the Giants, captain for them. Man, it looks like there's a lot of struggling right now on the interior of the offensive line, being able to stop pressure. Jeffrey Simmons, when I went back and watched the Tennessee game, he was in the backfield almost every single snap.
Wait, hold on. I think he actually just sacked Daniel Jones again.
Exactly. No, you're right. Exactly. He's still coming. Brian and I have talked a lot about, man, maybe that's where you find some success. You send Micah Parsons up the A-gap. You try and take advantage of some of that. Is that an area of concern still for the Giants? Is that just a place right now where they're really struggling to find an answer on the interior?
Yeah, you're right. Andrew Thomas has developed into a legitimate all-pro, Pro Bowl level left tackle. He's excellent. That's why you don't give up on offensive tackles, by the way, after one season. And Evan Neal's been okay. He hasn't been great, but he's been okay. He hasn't been killed out there. I think it's similar to the way Tyler Smith's played a left tackle for you guys. They've had some bad moments, had some good moments, but you see it, right? Now, he also hasn't played an elite pass rusher for a lot of snaps yet. So if they put Parsons as Lawrence out there, we'll see. But yeah, one thing, Bobby, we've talked about all week this week on our programming here for the Giants is the Cowboys run more stunts than any other team in football. They have guys moving and twisting and all that stuff. And the Giants have been rotating at left guard with Ben Bredesen and Josh Azudu. It looks like Ben Bredesen is kind of inched in front of the rookie a little bit. He's a little bit better in pass pro. Azudu's done a pretty good job run blocking. Feliciano is your classic veteran center. He's fine, but he's not spectacular. And Mark Lewinsky, who they were depending on, he was their free agent signing this offseason. They thought he was going to be the rock for them. And then last week, he just had a rough, rough game against the Panthers. So yeah, I think you hit it. I think the one thing, the Giants offensive line coach Bobby Johnson will be working on all week is dealing with those Cowboys stunts and movements inside. They bring Parsons around in those loops. They've been lining DeMarcus Lawrence up inside more, as you guys well know. So, yeah, that I think would be a real issue for the Giants. And when you get guys in Daniel Jones's lap, that's when you might get some mistakes.
When you look at though how your quarterbacks played there, John, me personally, I think that Daniel Jones has some skills. I just think that you look at what he's been put through with coaching staffs and then also schemes and things like that. Does he finally have some stability with this group? And it looks like to me that, you know, they're trying to do more things that benefit him when you watch him on tape.
Yeah, look, John Mara said it this offseason, Brian, we've done everything we can to mess this kid up. And you're right. All the different schemes, coordinators, a lack of an offensive line. And look, the situation now still wasn't great. The offensive line is better, but it's not where you want it to be. And unless they figure out how to unlock Kenny Galladay, you know, Kadarius Toney's doubtful for this game. Who are his big weapons at wide receiver? So the talent around him still isn't ideal. Saquon Barkley's playing a lot better. That'll certainly help. But yeah, I mean, I think they are trying to make some easier throws for him. They're trying to design some things in the offense to create some openings. And I don't think they've asked him to do a lot. I think they only have four passes that have traveled 20 or more yards in the air this year. One was a blown coverage to Sterling Shepard. So, yeah, they're trying to make things a little bit easier on him, let the offense work for him a little bit, and frankly, run the offense through Saquon Barkley. You know, he looks like his old self. I think right now the Giants' offensive line is much better run blocking than pass blocking. And I think, you know, looking at the Dallas defense, if the one, you know, maybe you can run it right at him still a little bit on the inside with those defensive tackles. So I think that is going to be the plan. Again, don't put Daniel Jones into those second and third and longs where you could run into some trouble with all that stuff that Dan Quinn does. Trayvon Diggs starts jumping some routes. And, you know, the thing with Diggs, and I'd love to get your guys' take on this, I feel like he's going to excel against guys that can't run by him because he feels like he can take some more chances. Yeah. And I don't know if the Giants have somebody that can really run by him. So that's something I would keep an eye on, too, where he's going to be willing to take some more chances this week.
Yeah, John, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, Diggs is very comfortable with guys that can't. He's okay with the big guy. Yeah. He doesn't like to play the guy that can double move him and then get – and then now the catch-up speed. You know, you and I talked about that when we did our draft preview stuff a couple years ago about the true speeds and stuff like that. So let me ask you this, John. Do you feel like the Giants' game plan then is – we're going to sit there and run the ball, and even if the Cowboys get ahead in this game, still be patient running the ball, just not to put Daniel in some bad situations there?
Yeah, and I think, you know, Brian, we saw it in week one against Tennessee. The Giants trailed 13-0 at halftime, and they ended up running the ball, I think, on 60 or 70% of their plays in the second half of that game. So, yeah, that's what they're going to try and do, and they're going to hope Saquon breaks a couple long ones like he did against Tennessee. He had a 60-yard run in that game, a 30-yard run in that game. Last week, he had 3 rushing yards at the half. They stuck with it. He had 68 rushing yards in half number 2 in that game. So they are going to stick with the run because, to your point, especially against this Cowboys pass rush and Micah Parsons, they're not going to want to put Daniel Jones in a situation where he's going to get beat up and he can maybe turn into some mistakes. You know, this is not what they've told me. This is just my opinion. I'm much more worried about the Cowboys defense scoring points in this game or setting up the offense with a short field than I am the Cowboys offense creating sustained drives down the field. That's just me.
Look at that. John doing his homework on this terrible offense. Look at that. That's
he knows. He watches this stuff. He's not wrong.
I mean, it's funny. Micah Parsons has told us in training camp, told us at the end of the game last week against Cincinnati. He said, I don't care if the offense scores 0 points because I trust we're going to put points on the board on our side of the ball. And so that's their mentality. That's the mentality that they've got to have. I want to ask you really quickly and a little bit of homerism here, acknowledging this is a guy that I hyped up back in his college days, and I've known him since all the way back when he was at Middle Tennessee. But how big a deal has Richie James been for you guys there in New York? A guy that when he gets discussed, it feels like there's a lot of, boy, look at that. Richie James is having to take targets. How bad are things in New York? To where when I look at the tape, it's like, man, how big has Richie James been stepping into this void and making some plays?
Yeah, look, I think right now the Giants are, and we didn't really talk much about the wide receivers, but they're trying to figure it out there. And they've been mixing guys in, just trying to find someone to give them consistent production. And quite frankly, Richie James has been the guy. I mean, he's the guy that they put in the slot. I think Daniel Jones trusts him to always be where he's supposed to be, run the right route, separate in those small areas on the inside. So he's the guy he trusts, to be honest with you. And the other guy he trusts is David Sills outside. You remember, I think West Virginia, Brian.
Right? Yeah, he's been all over the place, it seems like.
Bigger guy. He was originally actually drafted, I think he was undrafted free agent with the Bills. They cut him when Joe Shane was there. So then Shane kept him along when he came to the Giants. And, you know, he can't run away from guys, but he's a decent route runner. He's got good hands. He's going to settle into some zones. But James has been the guy, along with Sterling Shepard coming away from his Achilles. Those are the three guys that they've figured out that Jones can trust a little bit and will always be in the right spot. Though I do think, after only playing two snaps last week, Kenny Golladay will be reintroduced a little bit more in the game plan this week. They're going to try to get him going because he's not going anywhere with his contract. So they're going to try to figure out a way to get him activated here. But, Bobby, you hit it. Richie James has been really a godsend here as someone that Daniel Jones can rely on in those third and short, third and medium situations. He's kind of his go-to guy in those spots, to be quite honest with you. So him versus Jordan Lewis in those third and mediums will be an interesting matchup in this game.
And then just as we wrap up here, I was given a lot of crap from our morning show over at 105 Through the Fan because I told them I was here in the New York area and I ate at Cheesecake Factory last night. So where do I need to go eat today before the game?
There's a million Italian places. Like, you can find good Italian in Jersey pretty much anywhere. I don't know any place. I think you're in Short Hills, right? I don't know any Italian places offhand in Short Hills, but
I'll drive.
All right, Hoboken. Go to Hoboken. Find a good Italian place in Hoboken for lunch. Enjoy a little lunch. Jersey City, you can find something too. Go downtown and get some nice pasta. I think you'll be in good shape.
John, I'll tell you what. I will say something though, Bobby. All my years of scouting, and I don't know if it's changed because I haven't been to the new. I hadn't been to MetLife. Well, I have been to MetLife, but I didn't sit in the press box for some reason. I was hanging out somewhere else. But the food at the Giants Stadium has always been the press box food. Always been good. Always. Good deal. Now, I don't know if that's changed, but man, if I wrote a book about press box food, I would have talked about the Giants back in the day because they had some really good food. If you have to wait around, yeah.
I'm going to have to do a video breakdown, I guess, comparing Cowboys press box and Giants press box food. John Schmelk, yeah, Giants reporter, Northeast area cuisine expert. you can find all of his takes over on Twitter, at Schmelk. John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, and I would not expect the MetLife Stadium food to rank up with
– Oh,
with,
no, what happened? Oh no!
It's fine. It's fine. But you guys have like the dessert.
We have a carving table. Station. A
carving station. We're not whipping out a dessert table or a carving station. We're not doing that.
Wait! The mirrors have changed. They used to have it on plates. They used to serve on like real plates back in the day. Way back in the day.
No
more. All right.
do we at least get the post game beer like we get in AT&T Stadium?
No, I do not believe there are post-game beers, but you will get some kind of post-game dessert though afterwards. Okay. Like I think they had soft pretzels last week. So that was pretty good.
Okay. All right. That'll work for us. John, thank you. Appreciate you.
No problem, guys. Happy to be with you.